What do you do with a story you've heard a million times? You can go with a tried and true explanation of the scripture. That would certainly mean a shorter message. But I'd also be doing an injustice to everyone listening. I could go into detail about all the little interesting facts behind the text, how scholars have devised ingenious methods of determining why there are exactly 153 fish mentioned, but that would bore us all to tears after a while. So what's left? I don't mind telling you that I really struggled trying to figure out what to say about a text that seems so simple and straightforward. I mean, what more could be added to the interpretation than when Jesus asked Peter 3 times if he loved him, that Jesus was giving Peter a chance to redeem himself for those 3 times of denying Jesus earlier in the gospel? Wasn't that good enough? Could there be any more? Actually, yes, there can be more. For us. I began thinking, what if I looked at this story from my own point of view? Who do I identify with? What could Jesus be saying to me? When I read it again, I saw that there was a whole lot more that meets the eye. Let me back up a bit first and tell you where I'm coming from when I read the scripture. I grew up in the Disciples of Christ Church. I've always been involved in some way, usually doing service projects or leading this group or organizing that event. I never really considered it as anything special, just my duty as a Christian. I used to complain that so many of my peers didn't seem to be interested in doing anything more than the fun stuff. At some point, I guess I must have become something of a martyr because I stopped going to the youth group parties altogether. I only showed up at the youth group meeting if we were going to be working. As I grew up, I picked up more responsibilities in the church. I still opted to serve rather than be served at any gathering because that was my duty as a Christian. As time passed, I slowly climbed the church ladder of leadership. Finally, in 1998, I had reached as far as I thought I could conceivably go in church leadership. I was hired as the Christian Education Director. My congregation had only a few years back hired, and fired, an associate minister, and I was hired to do basically the same thing the associate had done. The only things I was not asked to do were home visits, pastoral calling, and oversee the Lord's Supper. 3 years later, my colleagues convinced me to go to seminary, telling me they thought I had a real gift of... Well, they never really said what gift they thought I had, just that they thought I should go to seminary. I figured, why not? I wasn't going anywhere in my current job, and, to be honest, it had become rather routine. Now, that's not to say that I was tired of the people I worked with, or even with doing church as usual. It's just that I knew I was missing something. I just didn't know what. After a lot of praying and heart-searching, and a whole lot more praying, because I didn't really want to leave everyone and everything I loved, and I wasn't entirely sure anyone else could do my job as well as I could. Rather arrogant on my part, I know. I decided to give seminary a shot. Needless to say, I was disappointed. Then I turned to what was my current job in my first year of seminary. I was the associate minister of a medium-sized disciples congregation. There, however, I also found disappointment. I had more priestly responsibilities, yes, but it seemed that nothing I did was ever quite right, and it was by far one of the most unsatisfying occupations I'd had to date. I was confused. If being a pastor was my calling, as so many others had suggested, then why wasn't I able to be the kind of pastor I had envisioned? Why was I constantly failing? After almost a year of pain and misery in that position, the church leaders and I agreed that perhaps this was not the place for me. So that left me with what? I was unemployed, but still in school, supposedly preparing for an occupation that, as yet, had not proven to be my calling, which seemed to be more than just doing one's Christian duty. That brings me to Peter. As we recall, he started on this journey with Jesus with great enthusiasm. He had big ideas about what Jesus' ministry was, and he didn't always understand what Jesus said, but by golly, he was doing what he thought was right and good. Then, when the chips were down, he denied he even knew Jesus. Not once, but three times. Talk about failing! And yet, later on, after Jesus is raised from the dead, Jesus comes back to see Peter and the disciples after they had a rough night fishing. He even cooks them breakfast. It's obvious that Jesus doesn't hold their fear against them, except, what about Peter? Peter, Jesus asks, do you love me more than these? Yes, Peter responds, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs, Jesus says. Peter might have wondered, what lambs? Peter, Jesus asks again, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter responds, you know that I love you. He was probably rather confused that Jesus didn't seem to be happy with his first answer. Tend my sheep. Peter probably still didn't understand what Jesus was asking him to do, but he had to have known Jesus was trying to drive home some point, just as he had in the past. Peter, Jesus asks yet again, do you love me? Perhaps it suddenly dawned on Peter that Jesus was testing him. Perhaps, in his own guilt, he believed that Jesus was as upset with him as Peter was at himself. Whatever Peter was thinking at the moment, we are told that he grieved, because Jesus was still asking, pressing, to know if Peter still loved his Lord. Lord, you know everything, Peter lamented. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. By now, Peter was probably as confused as he'd ever been. First, Jesus seems to accuse Peter of not loving him, and then he adds this riddle about lambs and sheep. What was Peter to think? How did sheep and lambs fit in with loving Jesus? And just what lambs was Jesus talking about? We're never told if Peter actually gets Jesus' meaning by the end of this story, but given what Peter goes on to become, one of the leading disciples, we can guess that even if he didn't get it then, by the end of his lifetime he understood what Jesus was driving at, forgiveness and servanthood. Like Peter, I too had begun my journey with high hopes and enthusiasm, but as time has worn on, no matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't fit into my ideal of Christian duty. I martyred my heart on the altar of perfectionism. To put it bluntly, I failed. I didn't fail just once. I failed many times over. So there I was, wondering what on earth I was doing. Was I trying to be something I'm not? Or was I trying to deny who I truly am, denying Christ in the process? As I pondered this passage, I began to feel like Peter must have felt. Do you love me more than these? I read. More than what? I wondered. Feed my lambs, Jesus says. What lambs? Which lambs? Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Tend my sheep. What sheep? And how am I supposed to tend them? Where am I supposed to go to care for them? Do you love me? Have I failed him so often that now he even doubts I want to serve him wherever, however that might be? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. But what does that mean? I left the passage and let it soak in. I chewed on it and worried it, trying to see it from every angle imaginable, just as I'm sure Peter did. And as the hours turned into days, and the days into weeks, light finally began to dawn on me. Perhaps what Jesus had been showing Peter is that Peter needed to forgive himself. Jesus already had. If he hadn't, would he have bothered giving the fishers advice or cooking them breakfast? He must have known that Peter was beating himself up over his failings. Peter wouldn't have accepted it if Jesus had just said, "Hey, Peter, don't worry about it. It's in the past." Peter needed to see inside himself that, although he had indeed failed, his love for Jesus was still genuine. He needed to forgive himself. I also need to learn to forgive myself for all my real and perceived failings. The fact is that we all do. Forgiving ourselves is often much harder to do than forgiving someone else. As one of my mentors says, you need to learn how to finally love yourself, to fly, by forgiving yourself for not being perfect, for making mistakes, for failing. One failure, even one as big as Peter's, cannot separate us from the love of God, but it can make us miserable if we don't learn to forgive ourselves as God has. Peter also needed to see that God still had plans for him. Big plans. Perhaps not everything Peter had envisioned for himself, but what God called him to was much better. Peter had to relearn what Micah says in chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Peter wasn't the only one who needed that particular lesson. We all need to be reminded that we are called to serve, whether it be as a writer, an accountant, or maybe to be the best parent you can be. Only God knows what sheep you are to care for, and how you should care for them. In the end, it doesn't matter to God what you've done, how you've failed. You can be forgiven, and you can learn to forgive yourself. And it doesn't matter where you are or what you do for a living. God can use you if you'll be open to being a servant. So how about it? Have you forgiven yourself lately? Are you being called to serve?